of each of the housing authority represented. So I would like to commence the recording. And
okay, it's done.
All right, great. It is now 10 a.m. and this is the Private Activity Bond Committee meeting of July 21, 2021. The meeting is now called to order. I am Jacqueline Knights, Director of the Debt Management Division of Oregon State Treasury and the Treasurer's Designee to the PAB Committee. I would like to, for the record, to have a roll call. So I will ask each member of the PAB committee to identify themselves, starting with Jean.
Jean Gabriel with Department of Administrative Services.
Dan.
Dan Anderson, public member.
And myself, Jacqueline Knights. We constitute the PAB committee. You should have all received an agenda for topics being covered today, including the status of the private activity bonds allocations and the requests that are being made, which we have three requests today. We're going to also ask that persons, initially we will take the from a logistics point of view, we'll have Martha present the private activity bond status, and then we will have each of the requesters present their request and then call the vote at the end of the process, if that works for the committee members. Dan and Jean?
So we'll consider all three collectively at the after the third presentation?
Individually.
Okay.
After the third presentation.
Okay, sounds good.
That's fine with me, thank you.
Okay, great. Martha, would you provide us with the status of the private active RPAB status?
I'll be glad to. I also have a question. Does everyone have the materials, the meeting materials in front of them, or do you want me to share my screen with the meeting packet?
I have the meeting materials.
Please share it if you, for those individuals who may not have it.
Okay. All right. So we're at the, we're going to, I'm sorry, let me get a little more. There we are. This point, at the beginning of 2021, the PAB committee had a 2021 current volume cap allocation of $174 million. They had approved to date $15.4 million, and $43.24 million of that was returned to the committee. So the total remaining 2021 current volume cap is $166.8 million. That at today's reserving $43.5 million for the fourth quarter meeting leaves a third quarter volume cap, including the reserve portion and the rollovers, of $123.34 million. Today's total requests for 2021 current volume cap is $79.13 million. That completes the presentation of the status of the volume cap.
Does anyone have any questions for Martha?
None.
Jean? No questions, thank you, no.
All right, thank you very much, Martha. Now we will go into the presentations for requesters of volume cap. We have Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority for its Ariel South Glen project. Is there someone here to represent, who will represent that project?
Yeah, this is Keith Wooden from Housing Works, the Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority. I'm the real estate director there.
Okay.
Would you like me to start my presentation?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, members of the committee. We're here to present and request $8.1 million in private activity bond cap for our Aerial South property. It's located in Bend, Oregon. We've owned and operated this property since 2005 as affordable housing. And it was built in 1978 and needs substantial kind of capital infusement. So we have applied for and received an allocation of OHTC from OHCS. And we've also applied for 4% LIHTC to go along with this transaction to result in a rehab of over $50,000 per unit, which is very much needed for some substantial capital improvements for this 96-unit property, which is our largest in Central Oregon. This structure provides rent levels for two-bedroom units in the mid-700s, which is probably 50% or greater below than what the market rents are over in our area. So that's very positive. We are using a very experienced team and have partners with PNC and WaFed that we have used on probably at least 5 to 6 transactions within the last 3 or 4 years. So we're pretty excited to be able to accomplish this project, issuing kind of our own bonds for you guys, and with the support of LIHTC from OHCS. Are there any questions?
Dan or Jean?
I just a simple observation that this seems like a very straight up preservation related undertaking, and the fact that you can do preservation for something like 40% of the cost of new build here in the Portland metro area makes it look very appealing.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions.
We clarified an issue relating to this particular request prior to the meeting. We had a similar constructed financing plan earlier this year that we approved, and later discovered that the Public Housing Authority could not issue the bonds on their own. We checked in with housing on that matter, and the issue was resolved. And so even though the financing plan mirrors a prior financing plan that was approved earlier in the year and that could not be accomplished in this manner, it is understood now that the legislative authority, the legislation has been revised to permit this. So we did do some due diligence on this prior to this meeting. Is there someone here from Oregon Housing who could give testimony or due diligence on this matter?
Yes, my name is Casey Bauman. I'm the production manager with Oregon Housing and Community Services. And as Mr. Wooden indicated, we do have a reservation of Oregon Affordable Housing Tax Credits, OHTCs, and we're currently in the due diligence period of our low-income housing tax credit application, with the understanding that this project will be closing in mid-October. The bond amount is supported in our pro forma materials, and we don't have any issues with this project.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Mr. Bauman. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you for your presentation. And now we will entertain the request from the Housing Authority of Washington County.
Good morning, Chair Knights and members of the Private Activity Bond Committee. My name is Comey Calavor, Executive Director of the Housing Authority of Washington County. We appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning and present a request for the development of 144 units of affordable housing in Tigard. This project is called the Terrace Glen, and it will be a partnership between Related Northwest and Housing Authority of Washington County. This is the second project we are bringing before you this year. The first one, the Valfrey at Avenida 26 in Forest Grove. We are hoping to close this Friday, July 23rd. Like the Valfrey, the Terrace Glen is also funded with Metro Affordable Housing Bond, 4% low-income housing tax credits as well. By issuing private activity bond, the Housing Authority is able to further support these projects and builds on the previous success of Sunset View, which was about 6 years ago. That was 236 units. We have two additional projects that we plan to bring before you in October this year. One is a portfolio rehabilitation of five projects the Housing Authority owns, similar to what you just heard from Central Oregon. And the second one will be a Metro Bond funded project also in Washington County. In addition to providing much needed affordable housing, these projects made possible by the private activity bonds from your committee will be a key funding source that would enhance economic development and affordable housing. For the Terrace Glen, we estimate at least 150 family wage jobs will be created by the Terrace Glen development. I would like to hand you over to Shannon Wilson, Housing Development Manager, who will walk you through the details of the Terrace Glen. Shannon?
Great. Well, good morning, committee members, and thank you for the opportunity. Martha, could we just go back one slide? Thanks. Yeah, so I just wanted to walk through some of the details of the project, and then we're happy to take any questions that you may have. So the Terrace Glen project is located in Tigard, as Kwame said, and so the map there on the slide gives you a context of where it's located within Washington County. It is just right across the street from Washington Square Mall, which does have a regional transit center right in the parking lot. So it has great access to transit as well as close proximity to schools and parks. So next slide, please. I should also mention about the location. It is in a qualified census tract, so it is eligible for the basis boost in tax credits. As Comey also mentioned, it is a Metro Bond project within the county. So we have 10 projects in the county's implementation area. And this project is the largest one with 144 units. There in the slide, you can see the unit breakdown. One thing to note about this project is that they were able to fit in some four-bedroom units. And so this is the only Metro Bond project within the county's implementation area, but that has those four-bedroom units to really, you know, help meet the need for larger low-income families in the county. And there on the slide, you can see the site plan just gives you a sense of the two footprints of the two four-story buildings of the project. Next slide, please. Just to highlight a couple of the project features, we'll have three permit supportive housing units, so eight project-based vouchers total, and then three of those will be permanent supportive housing units. And the service partnerships that will support that permanent supportive housing, as well as resident services overall. Those involve established partnerships with Engage, Homeplate Youth Services, and ERCO. And then the project also features an outdoor courtyard area that's really kind of insular and insulated from the road that the project is located on, and then indoor multi-purpose rooms as well. And then this slide gives a snapshot and kind of a bird's eye view, I guess, if you will, of the sources and uses, as well as the timeline. So on the left, you can see the sources there with the permanent tax-exempt bonds of $10 million. So our total request for this project is $29 million, with $10 million then being a permanent source. And then you can see the breakdown there of then tax credit equity, the affordable housing bond, as well as some smaller contributions also from Metro, the transit-oriented development, OHCS MEP funds, and then deferred developer fee. And then you can see the uses broken out by acquisition, construction, and development, with a total construction cost of just under $54 million for those 144 units. On the right, you can see the estimated closing timeline, which in May, the project received the land use approval. We are here before you today, and then our plan is in October to have final approval. That's on the Metro Affordable Housing Bond funds. So the project already has concept endorsement, which essentially is a commitment of funds. The final approval is just that. It's a final step right before or just a few weeks before closing, as a way to kind of go back to our board as well as to Metro to review all of the final documents and final sources and uses, just to give that kind of a final approval for those funds. And then anticipate closing in November. And the team is working to move that closing up by a week. So right now it is scheduled for the week of the Thanksgiving holiday. So they are working to move that up rather than into December. But right now it is scheduled for November 23rd. And then an 18-month construction period with completion anticipated in the end of May of 2023. So we did just want to highlight those two projects that Comey mentioned that we plan to bring to you at your October meeting. So Housing Authority Portfolio Rehab. I think when we came in April, we mentioned this would be four projects. Since that time, we found that there's a fifth project within our portfolio that it would be really beneficial to bring into that project. And so that's why the private activity bond request is a TBD on that. And also the number of units would increase with that fifth project, so be closer to just under 340 units. But we'll be bringing hopefully more information to you about that in October. And then the Goldcrest Apartments, which is a project sponsored by Bridge Housing. This would be a request of, there you can see, just over $23 million for the development of 75 units. And that is in the South Cooper Mountain area of the city of Beaverton, if you're familiar with that area, which is a high opportunity area. And it's just across the street from the newest high school, Mountainside High School, in the Beaverton School District. So we did receive a couple of advanced questions that we wanted to go ahead and address. So the first one was around the amount of estimated eligible tax credit basis. And so, so the estimated eligible basis is 48.4 million. And then, as I mentioned earlier, it isn't a QCT, so it's eligible for that 30% basis boost. So the adjusted eligible basis is 62.9 million. And then the other question was around the operating subsidy. So there's 43, sorry, I don't have it right in front of me, units that out of the 144 that are 30% are targeted to serve households at 30% AMI. And so there was a question about additional operating subsidy that the Housing Authority might provide for those units. And so we are providing the eight project-based vouchers. So no additional operating subsidy. But when the project did request Metro Affordable Housing funds in our NOFA process, we did weight the amount of subsidy per unit based on that income targeting. So those units at serving households at 30%, they received a higher Metro bond subsidy. So it's not on the operating side, but on the development side, they did receive additional funds that way to support the development of those projects and to lessen the amount of permanent debt on the project. So hopefully that addressed those two questions. But with that, Comey and I are happy to take any additional questions that you have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Dan, do you have any additional questions?
I just to make sure I understand what you just laid out for us, that you anticipate at the conclusion of development being able to certify 62.9 million in basis?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. But of course, your request is for 29 million, which is less than 50% of that number.
So I was looking at the most recent pro forma from Related Northwest. So they are the project sponsor, in this case, partnering with the Housing Authority. And so they had estimated, so in the calculation of the 50% test, they have the eligible basis amount before the boost. And so that puts them at 56.6% in terms of the 50% test. So I'm not sure if Casey or maybe others can weigh in on whether you use, which amount should be used. Maybe that is incorrect and the boost amount should be used.
So this is Casey Bauman with OHCS. And when we do the analysis on the 50% test, we look at overall the eligible basis plus land costs in the calculation before the boost. So it's before that additional 30% on the eligible basis number. And Shannon is correct. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it is the 50% calculation comes out to roughly 55, 56%.
Yes, 56.6, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have land costs in that? I was under the impression that land as a non-depreciable asset doesn't go into basis.
For the tax credit calculation, it doesn't go into basis, but it is in the calculation for the 50% test.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure you're not asking for too much or too little here, but it sounds like someone who knows more about the nuance of this than I has looked at that carefully. Moving over to operating subsidy, it's been a while since I studied this carefully, but once upon a time, if one were serving households at 30% area median income, that many times didn't even cover the operating costs for get any debt service. So I was a little struck by the fact that a majority of the 30% units did not appear to require any operating subsidy. Can you comment on that? What is the break even, if you will, percent of AMFI where restricted rents are sufficient to pay estimated operating costs?
I can speak to that a little bit. And I was just pulling up the operating budget itself. I know. So the reason there are so many 30% units is, I mean, there's a need for those. But then also Metro, as a part of that, has identified specific goals around the number of 30% units that each jurisdiction needs to produce. And so so we had certain requirements around that for each project. And so that is why.
I think it's absolutely laudable that you're doing that. It's just I'm kind of curious as to the ability of 30% units to self-fund their operating costs, because historically, in my experience, that was a stretch. And that's why some sort of operating support is typically associated with 30% units. But that does not appear to be the case here for the preponderance of your proposed 30% units.
Right. And that is given the, with the Metro bond funds, we're intended to help subsidize the development as a way to decrease the permanent debt. So those that will be structured as a soft loan.
I understand that. But this is operating cost. I'm not talking about debt service. Operating cost. You don't collect enough from a 30% rent to pay its ratable share of operating costs, or such historically has been my experience. Has that changed?
This is Comey. It has not. I think the annual operating expense per unit for this development is $5,398. So 30% units, that will be, well, I would think every month, if every unit contributed $450 or thereabouts, we should be able to cover the operating expense. So I think our larger point is for $17 million, which is the amount of the Metro bond, that was the bargain is we get at least 40% of the units serving extremely low income.
And that's terrific. That's a good thing. I heard you say in the last minute that 30% rents don't pay their operating costs.
No, they can.
So it appears that the question here is, and Mr. Comey, please chime in, if you have allocated some of this operating cost to this Metro bond loan and whether or not that is a viable source for funding of the operating expenses associated with those units.
Yes. So the benefit of the Metro bond is you get a smaller permanent loan, so less loan to debt service. To Dan's immediate question about operating costs. Operating expenses per unit is $5,398. So if every unit contributes a minimum of $450 a month, they should cover those expenses. And the 30% units will pay more than $450 per unit per month. I mean, without getting into the weeds, that's the answer.
Dan, are you satisfied with that answer?
Sure. I haven't gone into this in a real detailed fashion. I'm just sort of essentially running off of historical relationships that I used to be much more immediately familiar with. And in general, as you drop significantly below 50% median family income, quite aside from debt service, it was a stretch for units below that threshold, and this became more profound the further down the income scale you get, for the units to pay sufficient restricted rent at the target income level to cover their share of operating costs. It has nothing to do with debt service. And so, you require either an internal cross subsidy or some kind of external subsidy to make the operating statement work, or you had to underestimate expenses, which was another approach that was on occasion used.
Yes, that is correct, except we have this gift of the Metro Affordable Bond, which is very significant, about 30% of the total development cost, as a very soft loan, almost a grant. And I know
this has nothing to do with debt service. This is an operating cost question.
To the extent you borrow less, you have less debt service. But in terms of, four bedroom at 30%, the rent is a little bit higher than $800 per unit per month. We had 3-4 bedrooms for permanent supportive housing. So that's enough to cover the share of operating expenses. And the second piece, which is, you don't see that on the pro forma, but for those high needs families, which I suspect is the main part of your questions, there's also a second program called the Supportive Housing Services Levy, which is being managed from our department, and the county or our department will be coordinating supportive services. So historically, to your point, supportive services have been a burden on the real estate, which hasn't worked for 30% units. So we have a situation here where the rents are about enough to cover the operating cost, plus there's going to be an external source for supportive services.
I think the unit configuration program and the income targeting, those are terrific. I just want to make sure that it from an operational point of view and a required external support point of view, this is soundly constructed and in terms of operating strategy and ongoing support requirements that it works over time.
Yes, it will work over time, especially with the external source for supportive services, because many of the people we are trying to serve have a need for supportive services that the real estate is not able to pay for historically. But now we have the Metro Supportive Housing, which officially kicked off July 1 in Washington County.
Good. Excellent. Well, it sounds very thoughtfully conceived. Thank you.
Jean, do you have any questions?
No, I don't, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Mr. Comey, just to clarify, the 3-4 bedroom units you say are permanent supportive housings?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Again, I will make the request from housing, Oregon Housing, to see if there's anyone who's conducted due diligence on this project and your response.
Yes. Again, Casey Bauman, OHCS, and we are in the due diligence period, working with Related Northwest and the Housing Authority on this project. And As of today, the requested bond amount is supported, and we don't have any concerns with the project.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we've entertained all the questions. If there are any, please speak now. Any additional questions? All right, great. Thank you, members of the Housing Authority of Washington County, and thank you for your responsiveness to our questions. We will now entertain Home Forward for its Southeast Powell Apartments.
Good morning, Chair Knights and committee members. My name is Ben Loftus. I'm the finance manager at Home Forward. Before I keep talking, I just want to make sure, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I am here today to present an allocation request form and materials for our Southeast Powell development located at 3000 Southeast Powell. It is a new construction project. It is 206 units of 4% low-income housing tax credit affordable housing. Like the developments already presented this morning, it is also located in a qualified census tract. It will rely on, as far as financing, 4% low-income housing tax credit, tax credits, investor tax credit equity. The Portland housing bonds, we've talked a little bit so far this morning about metro housing bonds. These are similar, but City of Portland housing bonds. And Home Forward sources, including a seller note to provide the land. The development has been and is a partnership with PHB beyond the Portland housing bonds, as Home Forward and PHB have each contributing part of the parcel that will make up the land for the 206 unit development. The OHCS resources, as I said, are the 4% tax credits, and that's it for this development. The pre-application to OHCS has been submitted. The development team for this project is a team that Home Forward has worked with in the past, includes Holst Architecture, Coalesce Construction. Holst Architecture, we worked with the Bud Clark Commons. Coalesce Construction, we worked with on our Stevens Creek Crossing development, and our financial partner for both the investor equity and the debt is Bank of America. Home Forward's roles, Home Forward will serve as the developer, owner, general partner of the limited partnership, the bond issuer, and the Section 8 HAP contract administrator. Within the 206 units, and forgive me, I have a monitor over here that I'm looking at. Within the 206 units, there will be 68 units that are set aside for households below the 60% tax credit maximum. Those units will be restricted to serve households at 30% AMI. Of those 68 units, 50 will have a Section 8 project-based voucher HAP contract, a 20-year contract. The other 18 units that are unsubsidized will be studios. The project-based voucher units will be focused on 2 and 3-bedroom units to support affordable housing for family-sized and family households. And when I submitted this request to this committee earlier this month, we had a bond inducement resolution from our board that dated back to early 2020, and our board approved that. But since early 2020, the construction costs have escalated, and so we went back to our board, who authorized last night an amended and restated resolution, the draft of which you can see on the screen here, was authorized as and adopted and executed last night. I received a copy of that this morning from our commissioners and have forwarded that to Martha Kellums to share with this committee, so that you can see that our board is current with where we are as far as Home Forward, As far as PHB, we anticipate City Council approval on August 25th, and closing will happen shortly thereafter. Right now, it's the building permit will determine the exact closing date, but we're targeting September 15th. The certificate of occupancy and lease up after a 22-month construction period would be July 2023, and that's when this project would begin to serve low-income Oregonians. With that, I'll stop and open for questions.
I just have one question. The escalation of construction costs that you mentioned, are they already included in the numbers that are in the packet that we have? Is that correct?
Good question. Yes, Colas Construction has gone out to bid on this project. We have the bid numbers back. And this project, there will not be a substantial deviation as far as construction costs from what you see.
Thank you.
I had a similar question. Martha, can you provide us upload the new ordinance so that it can be seen by the committee members?
Sure, it might take me a moment because I hadn't received it yet, and so I have to go looking for it.
As a follow-up to Jean's question, the initial resolution was for $37 million, and it's my understanding that the new resolution will be for, I'm not finding that amount immediately, but what is the total amount of this new resolution?
This new resolution and request today is a total amount of $42,030,000.
Right. And the initial project was stated to have $37 million costs not to exceed. And I believe the draft resolution from the board has $69 million. Is there a substantial other than increase in cost of materials, etc., is there a difference in the original plan versus this current plan in terms of the housing stock, the number of units, etc.?
Good question. So, yes, when our board first authorized the inducement resolution in early 2020, the unit count was slightly different. We have 206 units today. We had 180 units back then, so we increased 26 units there. And more recently, as a just general update, we came to this committee in January of this year to forecast what our activity would be and included Powell on there. One of the beyond the construction cost escalation over the course of this calendar year, an additional item that wasn't presented in the January summary was that the Portland Housing Bond has a program fee of 7% issuance. And so there is, I need to look at the number here. To get the exact number, but the Portland Housing Bond sources as presented is $30.8 million, and so a 7% fee that had previously been unanticipated to be part of the Portland Housing Bond structure has been added since the this committee last saw this in January.
Okay, thank you. So I see that Martha has put up this resolution that was approved, and the new amount is $83 million. The not to exceed amount.
Correct.
Of the project. Given the amounts that we have seen and the fair amount of escalation, would it be fair to say that this is the anticipated, this new estimate fully reflects all the cost that the project is expected to incur, and this is the extent of the financing plan for the most part?
Good question. Yes, because we have our Colas Construction subcontractor bid numbers in, and we have been working with PHB, who will go in front of City Council on August 25th. Their submittal documents go into their system Monday of next week is the day in which they actually submit to the City Council their documents. And so, yes, at this point, we feel extremely confident that we have our guaranteed maximum price contract number from Colas Construction. We have our soft costs in line with either the existing contracts, like I mentioned, Holst Architecture, and their construction administration, and the other soft costs, including that PHB program fee. The one other thing that I'll add as far as the costs and the duration of time that this committee has seen is that HomeFord is not and has not increased its developer fee. So as we look at costs and cost changing over time, I just want to recognize that the developer fee for HomeFord has not changed.
All right, thank you. Dan, do you have any questions?
No, I'm a little struck by a 7% program fee associated with the Portland housing bonds. That's in addition to cost of issuance, presumably, which is being charged back.
Yeah, part of what we were able to do in our role as the housing authority is save on the cost of issuance of the tax exempt bonds. The 7% fee for the Portland housing bonds does cover their cost of issuance.
So there are no additional charges, for example, a rateable share of their bond council charges.
Correct. There is a ongoing operating expense bond compliance, bond monitoring fee for the Portland Housing Bond, which has been incorporated into the operating expense budget.
It's a significant charge, $2 million and change.
Exactly right.
Well, I applaud the HomeFord for its efforts with the homeless, chronically homeless, providing housing for the chronically homeless families. Could you just describe that process very quickly for us?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for asking. So within the 50 project-based voucher units, 30 units will be set aside for chronically homeless households, and those units we will work in partnership with the Joint Office of Homeless Services to make sure that the referrals are coming in, those units are being leased and occupied, and the services that those households need are there available on site.
And the do you have vouchers for these, or how will this be supported?
Yes, each of the 30 permanent supportive housing units will have vouchers. Okay. There are 25 two-bedroom PSH units and 5 three-bedroom PSH units. So we're looking to target homeless families here. And in addition to the 30 PSH units with vouchers, there will be an additional 20 project-based vouchers to serve households that are at 0 to 30, but not coming through the Joint Office of Homeless Services referral system.
Okay, great. Any additional questions from the committee? Jean or Dan?
Nothing for me, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific project that makes a small dent in a very large problem.
Again, I will ask if there's a representative from Oregon Housing that will provide due diligence to this project.
Yes. Again, Casey Bauman, Oregon Housing and Community Services. And we are in receipt of a 4% LIHTC application. And we're working with Mr. Loftus and his team towards the September close. At this point, I think we're on track and we don't have any issues.
All right. Thank you. Now we will proceed to entertain motions for each individual project that has been presented. We will start off with Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority for their PAB volume cap request in the amount of $8.1 million for the Ariel South project. Is there a motion?
Sure. I move to approve the request for 2021 PAB allocation of $8.1 million to Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority for the Ariel South project.
Oh, thank you, Jean. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dan. And just as a matter of formality, we will take a vote from each member. Jean?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
And myself, Jacqueline, yes. Thank you. So the Central Oregon Authority's 2021 PAB volume cap allocation of $8.1 million has been unanimously approved by the PAB committee. We will now entertain a motion for the Housing Authority of Washington County for PAB volume cap of $29 million for its Terrace Glen project.
Okay, I move that the committee approve $29 million of 2021 volume cap for Housing Authority of Washington County's Terrace Glen project.
I second it.
Thank you, Jean. Vote, Jean?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
And Jacqueline, aye. The Housing Authority of Washington County's 2021 private activity bond volume allocation of $29 million has been unanimously approved by the PAB committee. Thank you. And now for Home Forward, we're looking for a motion to award $42,030,000 for its Southeast Powell apartment project. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the request for 2021 PAB allocation of $42,030,000 to Home Forward for the Southeast Powell Apartments project.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Dan. Calling for the vote, Jean?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
And Jacqueline? Aye. Home Forward's 2021 private activity bond volume cap allocation of $42,030,000 has been unanimously approved by the PAB committee. Thank you all and congratulations to you on your project and for the good work that you are doing. We will now open the floor for any public comments. If you do have a comment, please state your name for the record. Okay, hearing none. Is there any other business?
Yeah, this is Dan Anderson. Two items. One, if the folks at Home Forward could at least do me the favor of sending back a bit of detail on what's included and dollar amounts on that 7% fee, I'd like to educate myself about that. Second, and this is for Housing Authority of Washington County, one of the things that's part of the standard volume cap application for affordable housing projects, of course, is this sources and uses form that the committee and the debt management division uses. And of course, it's not the only way to present that information, but the PowerPoint deck that was part of your presentation didn't include all this information. And your PowerPoint deck was gorgeous, and thank you very much for it. But if in the future you could also include this completed form with regard to future applications, that would be helpful.
We will be happy to do that.
I would also like to ask that all information that's sent as a result of this PAB committee be sent to Martha Kellum so that we can make it a part of the public records here including the new resolution by the Home Forward Board, so and also the request for the 7% fee structure. And Martha will make it available to the committee and make it available as part of the documentation of this meeting.
And if I could just add to making sure I get it, please also direct it to dmd@ost.state.or.us. That's the Debt Management Maine email address. And therefore, if I was out, somebody would take action with it.
Let me flag one more thing. If in the future we see other projects that are targeting household rents way down the income structure, you know, call it 30% area median, a little more detailed discussion of how that varies, of the operating subsidy issue as we explored it here today, would be appreciated in the future.
Thank you, Dan. We'll take that into consideration. Will do. Is there any other business? Well, thank you all. This has been a great presentation, a great meeting, lots of information, lots of great projects. You know, there were some concerns with cost and presentation of materials, but the projects appear sound and they provide for economic development and all the meet the objectives of the private activity bond committee. With that said, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second it.
Second. All right. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your participation and good luck with all your efforts.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.